There's an old saying, statistics don't lie, but you can certainly lie with statistics.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
So pardon me for being just a little bit of a skeptic, okay? I don't know where that comes from because I know the way I was raised as a child. I even know my biological history. Yeah, I was adopted. And so being a bit of a cynic is not exactly who I really am. I think I've become more, shall we say, cynical as I've gotten a bit older. And I have to wonder when I see numbers and things right in front of my face that I find disturbing, to say the least. This month, it was a year ago, I arrived in a county in a different state to prepare for the onslaught of all the people that were going to die in the United States based on the best experts' figures of COVID-19. And we were expecting in this country what? They were thinking, they had numbers between 2.7 and 3.5 million people were going to die. And if we really worked hard, and they were putting all this together about the time that I was traveling to my destination in February, they were rapidly putting together a plan. Now, maybe the president honestly didn't talk about it per se that much. And I understand that, because you can get a panic mode going. It was bad enough. Toilet paper disappeared. You know, cleaning supplies disappeared very quickly because people went into a panic when they didn't have all the information. And it made it even more difficult in the work that I did. Now, remember, I'm coming to a county where I'm being told to expect by the time we get to the summer, you know, like June, maybe end of May, maybe as late as July. But regardless, this is a period of, you know, essentially March, April, May, June, 4-5 months. 3,000 people will be dead in your county. 3,000. And you will have probably your hospital overwhelmed each week by hundreds and hundreds of people requiring care. And so that's what I worked on from day one, preparing for this unbelievable scenario. And we spent a lot of money in preparation. And we were actually prepared, believe it or not. We were prepared for this onslaught of people dying. And that was the reason we needed to flatten the curve. You remember flatten the curve? We were going to do that way back in March. Yeah, a year ago now, we were already putting the plans together. And for 15 days, we're all non-essential people stay home, shut down restaurants, businesses, churches, everywhere you gather. We've got to save 3 million Americans. Well, we flattened the curve, no problem, and we continued all this social distancing stuff and then mask wearing. And see, I'm looking at a chart in front of my very eyes from the CDC that talks about people's dying and excess deaths. And I'm looking at some numbers that don't make sense. Why would they anticipate that beginning in May or we would have lower people number of dying as compared to 2019, 2018, 2017? I'm looking at this line that's actually lower. And yeah, you see a number of weeks where there are what they call excessive deaths. Excessive deaths. And I'm trying to add up these excessive deaths, and I'm not finding 500,000 people. I'm just not finding 500,000 people in the excess. It's not there. And if you run the curve as it had been prior, that excess number even gets less. And in recent weeks, we're getting below that again. So, and we were getting below it. If you put the number where it should have been, even September, October, You know, we have a little spike November, December, and back around May. I don't see 500,000 people that died of the coronavirus. It's just not there. Yet that's what we've been hearing. You know, Biden and Harris, President Biden, Vice President Harris, or maybe it's the other way around, have their grim ceremony marking the 500,000 victim of COVID-19. Look, I know people get it. I know people that have died. I know people that would have died anyway, with it or out it. We've made this a huge crisis. And so many people I see on things like Facebook are saying, when can we all get back to normal again? Why can't we get back to normal? I'm looking at these numbers. They're not adding up to tell me why we couldn't. Even the media is noticing states that chose not to lock down, chose not to go out of the ordinary, didn't do any worse, and in most cases better than those that did. Makes no sense. I can think of people saying, when can I go back to church the way it was? When can I go back to a restaurant? When can we feel like it's all over? And that's a good question. And I ask myself that question each and every day. Is it ever going to go back to normal? Part of me says, I'm not so sure. And I've got my guest today, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. What's your opinion? Do you think? Are you like me? Do you think it's, well, is it ever going back to normal?
Absolutely not. They have no plans of bringing this back. Church is forever going to be changed. As a matter of fact, it's going to change in such a way. We've talked on other shows about this world religion that's coming about. And the churches that are going to capitulate to the governments are the ones who are going to easily be part of that world religion. What we see happening in the church, you know, I jokingly call them the CDC churches now, because people are disinfecting everything, not touching one another, wearing their masks. And, you know, pretty soon there'll be a hazmat suit and a bubble that we have to be in to go to church. And you can only have a limited number of people.
Well you saw that. Church. I'm sure you saw a number of the listeners saw this out there. I think it was in Washington State. I couldn't remember if it was a high school or a college. I'm sorry. I kind of saw it, and I've seen so many stories about the band that's practicing all their little mini little habitat things. Did you see that?
Yes, I'd put it up.
Yeah, and I'm going, and I've seen it on, okay, so the guy, I really felt sorry for the guy trying to play a tuba in that thing.
Yeah.
Where's he going to get enough air to breathe to blow that tuba without, you know, passing out?
Sure. You know, we've reached a time in our society and culture and in the church, unfortunately, where we're followers. We're followers of the state. We're followers of the world. And the very few that are seeing through it, the wheat from the chaff, right? The very few that are seeing through it are now being marginalized, ostracized, being called everything from extremist to unloving to you name it. And that's going to continue. And it's going to get worse, even in the church. I talked to somebody yesterday from a church, and as I was discussing it, the individual said to me, you know, he sees it, but he said, you know, they're saying if we just get up to 80, 90% vaccinated, we can finally take off our masks and stop social distancing.
We can't. That's not going to happen.
I know it won't. And I said, now, wait a minute. Well, what if we don't? What if we get up to like 75%? Then what's going to happen to the 25% who make a free will choice? I don't need to be vaccinated. I don't want to be. They're going to be the ones hated. You're going to be the one holding everyone back. You are unhealthy for society, for the world, because you are not allowing us to reach herd immunity. Do you see how they're setting this up so that we're hated? And not only that, but we'll be imprisoned either in our homes, well, probably in the homes first, then into quarantine facilities because you are infectious to the rest of the population.
And you're going to see that. Look, I'm going to come out and say this. And these are just, I've spent enough time, having even worked a little bit in government, but in understanding the mindset of some places in this country versus other places in this country. you get to a state like, you know, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, for example, Michigan, when the state government is so deeply entrenched with retrobate minds in charge, and that's what they are. Don't ever think they're not. I spent a good chunk of yesterday's broadcast defining, but from St. Paul, what is a reprobate mind.
Yes.
And they show it. They demonstrate it. They think they're normal. They think they're the ones right, and they think everybody else is a total moron. Yet they're talking about, you know, I mean, it's just like, you know, Mr. Levine, the doctor from PA, who thinks that he's a woman. And sure. And he doesn't understand why you don't understand that that is normal for me to be a man, to put on a dress and grow my hair long and take a few hormones and pretend that I'm a woman. And you don't understand that.
He identifies as a woman, right? So the other day I was talking to somebody and they said, well, you know, you're being very judgmental. And this is the way, you know, these people see themselves. Mm-hmm. And you can't be so judgmental. And I said, well, I identify as a judge.
Well,
and they just sat there and looked at me. And I said, look, you can play at this game.
Yeah, well, look, Levine.
I self-identify as a judge.
Levine, for example, Levine, he amazed me. You know, he had to answer a couple of really tough questions last week. And whether his confirmation goes forward, I think this one may go down in flames. Hopefully it does for Assistant Health Secretary. But when Rand Paul, whether you like him or not, asked a couple of questions, and he's a medical doctor. So he asked the question, and he did it from the perspective of, you know, when you start, amputating your breast or other parts of your body at a very, very young age, like 9, 10, or 11, or 12, you know, when you're, wouldn't that be the same as like genital mutilation in other countries? Are they mentally ready to make such a decision? What makes you think that giving a 9-year-old hormone blockers and amputating body parts is sound medical science? And Mr. Levine wouldn't answer.
And yeah, because Levine is saying they have a right to make that choice, even as young as 6. Now, you can have a 6-year-old who wants to be a man instead of a girl, and you can start mutilating them or vice versa.
Right.
At 6. And we would never let them decide for any other surgery whatsoever.
No, of course not.
At all at that age. But now we're going to let them do that. So what's the agenda? Hermaphrodites, what is the agenda here of these Luciferians? Because that's what they are. Reprobates.
That's right.
Luciferians.
They're satanic. They're agents of Satan.
That's part of their philosophy. It's what we call theosophy.
And if we don't, right? And here's where the church has been a dismal failure for decades in the United States. They don't want to call evil evil. They don't want to get people, we don't want to get people mad at us and not like us. We just have to learn to get along better. And how do you learn to get along with an entity that wants you destroyed? I mean, which
that
is
worked great for the Christians in the Colosseum.
Sure, sure it did. You know, you don't get along. You know, we are in this world, not of it. And unfortunately, too many people that claim the name of Christ are too worldly. They don't want to give up the things of the world.
Well, that's exactly
And to them, the things of the world refuse to go dim in their eyes. They're not going to let it happen. And so, right. They see the light of the world, not the light of the Son of God.
Sure. They don't see that. They see the light of hope in the United Nations, the light of hope in the World Council of Churches, the light of hope in theosophy. I mean, the light of hope in Freemasonry, in all of these things. They're going to bring the freedom of man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, freedom is slavery, as Orwell would say.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're bringing in. They're bringing in a slave system unlike humanity has ever seen before. And when that digital currency comes in, it will be a total slave system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're combining with you know, the vaccinated marks and all these other things that are coming. You know, scripture says the world, you know, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the world will eventually be the whore of Babylon, okay? Deceived by her sorceries. And that word we know is pharmakion in the Greek, which means pharmacy. It's where we get our pharmacy from. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be deceived by pharmakion. All right. And we turn that around and we look at this mark. He causes all to receive a mark. And that word mark has the idea here of a stamp, an imprint. You and I've already talked about the array patch, the tattoo, and it even says a tattoo.
Right.
So now you've got
and if you pause right there real quick, because there's something in the Old Testament where, you know, God's children were told not to cut and mark themselves.
Sure.
And there's a reason.
Sure. But here's the key. You're combining the deceiving, right, the pharmakion, sorcery. The sorcery is the drug, right, which is being combined with the tattoo or the mark or the stamp. So it's a medical tattoo.
You know.
And that's exactly what we see.
We have moved in medical science in many ways, and from trying to provide cures to trying to create customers.
Yep.
Let me say that again, if you missed it. There's a tremendous amount, not all of it, but when you take medical science as a whole, and you know, remember, St. Luke was a physician, the best that they understood at that time. They're looking to make you better. They're looking to help you. And they're looking for the things that God gave us to make that possible. Now, medical science has moved into a different realm of creating things that don't cure you, but they kind of sustain you differently and permanently. And it costs you permanently to keep these so-called, in other words, you're never cured. You're always going to be suffering the ailment. It's just that we can minimize the symptoms of this ailment with our pharmaceutical. Think about that.
And guess where that goes back to? The Rockefellers who took control of FDA and early on began to replace the natural homeopathic remedies and all that people used with petroleum-based pharmaceuticals. And he set up hospitals and schools for the new doctors where they shamed anyone who looked at the natural remedies as backwards, old school, that type of stuff.
Right.
And they promoted the petroleum-based pharmaceutical industry, allopathic, which is what we see now, and they took complete control over the pharmaceuticals. And that's what you have. Now, that's why homeopathic medicine is looked down upon as that's ridiculous. You know, I'm going to go to my doctor. They're all allopaths because that's all they're taught. Mm-hmm. And they're taught to think the other ones are ridiculous. Now, you've got thousands of years of human history where people are taught and people have learned wisdom and skill east and west about natural medicines.
Absolutely.
We're told scripturally God gave that to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of deceptions, like multiple layers of deceptions that are going on right now that most people don't know. They don't know about.
Look, and what I'm about to share is purely my opinion, and I'm going to, because I am not going to try to play something that I am not, but there's an instinct that I have, a strong instinct. I'm thinking back. Look, there are a lot of reasons we live longer today than we did 50 and 60 years ago. Part of it is the things we were exposing ourselves to in our own environment. Let's be honest. You know, it's not a healthy thing to be sucking down, you know, asbestos in a lot of factories. And people that made aluminum and for a living, many of them were mentally compromised later in life with Alzheimer's and similar diseases. We get it. It's all the aluminum exposure. But it's not so much the pharmaceuticals, in my opinion, that have us living longer, though in some cases, is it really living? But I'm not advocating that we off ourselves, but I'm beginning to wonder some of the things that we do. But I look at my grandparents, for example, who lived, they died in the 1990s almost hitting age 100. And did they spend a lot of time at doctors? No, not at all. Were they sickly? Rarely. We spent a lot of our time, my brother, my sister, myself, and our grandparents, especially in the summertime. And where my mother was the germophobic, you know, had they invented bubble wrap in 1957, I'd be wrapped in it. And I mean, I would have been in a hazmat suit and bubble wrap, you know, the kind.
Mm-hmm.
But grandma, on the other hand, oh, you stepped on a clam and you got a cut, and now you're walking in the dirt and the sand. Yeah, you'll be all right.
Yep.
And the thing is, none of us, all three of us, and we're not even biological, we're all adopted, so we're not even, we can't say it's our biology.
Mm-hmm.
All three of us are incredibly healthy because we were exposed to everything, bug, and what the world had to offer
right.
at a young yep. age. We built an immune system. We built one up. And I think that a lot of these medications tear them down. And then you have to take other things to offset the fact you can't fight off these other diseases, illnesses, or attacks on the body.
Well, yeah, they do. They do. It's already documented that they tear you down. They're lowering resistance. They're not building it up. Many things, even vaccines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see the flu vaccine, and the Department of Defense, the DOD, did a study, and it basically concluded if you get the flu vaccine, it's good for influenza up to 30 or 40%.
Mm-hmm.
However, it now makes you 36% more susceptible to any other respiratory virus, including coronavirus.
Right.
But that's not on the packaging of the vaccine.
No.
When you go take it. They're not going to tell you you're more susceptible now to other respiratory illnesses.
And what I try to remember for myself, you know, I've worked in jobs, and we're going back 20, 30 years. They would say, hey, you need to get the flu shot, even though I was, you know, a young guy. And I finally, you know, I gave in a few times. And each time I ever gave in to the flu shot, I had the flu. Bad.
Yep.
Out of work for like 2 weeks. Or one time it was so bad. I'm working for a county. This has got to be maybe 12, 13 years ago. Yeah, normally if I ever did get a cold or something in the winter that could be the flu, we're not even sure. You know, I'm down for the count for like 3-4 days. And then I'm bouncing back up by day 6-7. And, you know, I may have a lingering cough. But then again, back in those days, I was also a notorious smoker, which didn't help things years ago. But that the year that I had to take the flu shot, because it was kind of a requirement of my work, I was home for almost a month. I couldn't function. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get up. My stomach hurt. My head hurt. My body ached. And I just couldn't function. I was too dizzy to drive. Thank you, flu shot. And the other time that I was that sick was also the year I had the flu shot. So I decided I'm done with any of this mm-hmm. nonsense. It doesn't work for me. I think that I'll let my body do what it's been doing for now 66 years.
Yeah, God kind of equipped you pretty well, didn't he?
Well, you know, and considering that, look, I used to be a heavy smoker for many, many, many years. But, you know, when you quit for 5 years, it makes a big difference. And you feel a lot better. You can taste food better. And sadly, I'm a little heavier, too, because I can taste food better now. You know how that works. But
right.
But the bottom line is, God, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And yet our doctors and medical establishment think that we are inferiorly made and we can do better.
Mm.
And maybe we're playing God. And I think God may have had enough of someone being an imposter.
That's always man's temptation to play mm-hmm. God. Always.
From the garden.
Whether it's politically, medically, religiously, it doesn't matter. That's part of the fall. And we see that around us. You know, the question is truth, and right, the name of this show. So the question is truth, and why aren't
Absolutely.
We getting the truth in those areas that we should be? You know, why aren't people interested in truth, and why do you just trust what's being said by experts, scientists? You know, there's a peer pressure where if I say, you know, I really don't want to take the vaccines because there's some things in their adjuvants and stuff that I don't like, people will come at me and say, well, you're anti-science.
Well, yeah,
I've read the science journals on it. I'm not anti-science. I'm anti-lies from companies that are trying to push it on me.
The science also says life begins at conception. So why are we committing murder, you know, somewhere between month 1 and month 9? Science says.
Sure.
Well, that's...
it doesn't. Contradictions. You know. This is our contradiction.
This is
society,
the reprobate.
Right?
This is the reprobate mind in
yes,
action.
Yes, it is.
We got to take a break real quick and be right back. I want to remind you, this is the program Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I want to thank those that have just want to encourage you to write the program. And a lot of you have been doing that. And I take all of your letters and emails seriously. I've got a few people that have written, and I got a letter that's kind of lengthy, and I'll be replying to you in a day or two. So if you're listening, I don't ignore it. I actually have that many people to contact after, you know, a typical week. And we have a lot going on here in our home. So just bear with me. If I had a secretary and a producer and someone to distribute the program and a fundraiser, my life would be a whole lot easier. But it is what God has called me to do. So if it seems like, well, I mailed that letter, you know, like 4 or 5 days ago, and he's probably had it for a week, what happened? Well, it's not that I forgot you. It just takes some time to play catch up. And so I really do appreciate everything that you say and you've done. A few letters got off, and now I got a few more to get out this week. So just bear with us. There's a lot going on. God is moving his people around. And we're going to talk about the canceled church and the canceled culture. And how we talked about it yesterday at length, the reprobate mind that St. Paul has warned us about. You know, I never would have thought I'd see it in my lifetime. I mean, I've seen some crazy people occasionally, but I've never seen the majority of people in leadership in government that crazy. Yeah, it is a reprobate mind.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The magnetic storm trick. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, there's a real scary trick that magnetic storms can play with telephone lines. During a magnetic storm, it's possible for a conversation carried on a telephone line to jump to a radio line. This actually happened when an intimate phone call taking place in New York during a magnetic storm was transferred to the radio line of a national radio broadcast. Without the two people realizing what was taking place, their intimate phone call was broadcast through the airwaves all across America. Imagine if that were you. You were involved in one of your intimate phone calls and it was broadcast all across the country without you knowing it. A pretty scary thought. Well, you better think about it because it's going to happen. Messiah said this, "Whatever you've spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you've whispered in the closets shall be proclaimed on the rooftops." Whatever you've said, not just in one conversation and not just on the telephone, but whatever you've said, it will be heard. Even those things you whispered in secret when nobody else was around, it won't just be proclaimed on a radio station, but on the rooftops of the kingdom of heaven and in the light of judgment. So a good rule, don't say anything in secret you wouldn't want repeated from the rooftops of heaven and in the light of judgment and eternity. Avoid gossip as you would the plague. Whenever something's questionable, remember the magnetic storm trick. More than that, remember eternity and the day of judgment. If it wouldn't sound good for you broadcast coast to coast on national radio, then it doesn't sound good for you in the sight of heaven. Now, if somebody offered you a gift of $1 million, what would you say? Well, something better than $1 million, something that'll help give you a strong and victorious life, a free subscription to Sapphire's Vitamins for Your Spirit, and the incredible mystery of the temple doors. You'll love it all free. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name and dial it. It's all you do. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now. 1-800-YES-HUA-1. Now, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So I invite you to join with me in the harvest. You don't need a plow, just an open heart and a pen. And you can reach the unreached peoples of the world. Just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, zip 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy. It's box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, and that's in New Jersey. And the zip is 07644. Well, until next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah. Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to the program, Truth to Ponder. On our second half, I'm your host, Bob Bierman. We're going to get back to our discussion here with Dr. Timothy Gales in just a moment. Got a few things on my mind I want to ask him, and maybe you'll think about a few things, too, that come to your mind about this strange world in which we live. I want to thank all those that have taken the time to let me know that you do listen to this program. We spend a pretty good amount of money every month on shortwave airtime. We've been using KVOH now for 2 months. Just finished up 2 months last month, and we're just beginning to hear from people listening on 9975 kilohertz. If you are one that does listen on KVOH, if you have web access, would you visit our website, which is truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. You can send me an email or informational request from there, or if you just prefer to write me directly, I have no secretary, so it really does come only to me. You can use Bob at truth2ponder.com. Bob at truth2ponder.com. And let me know you listen. You can even, if you would like to help us defray the cost of shortwave time, nobody around here is getting paid. There's no benefits. There's no rents being paid by anything. It's just all money goes to airtime. And if we ever get a little ahead, we might consider even adding another station. If you'd like to do that, you can do it online. If you prefer to write a check, you can make a check out to Ancient Word Radio. That is Ancient Word Radio. And our address in Georgia, we might be in Florida for a little bit, but you can still use this address safely, is 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane. And add number 263. That is our secure box up here that they use for our little community. Not a very huge community, but it's our little box, and that's number 263, Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia. Zip code is 30537. Once again, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. Getting back to our conversation, twice in the last, I think it's been like 6 months, I've had to actually fly by air during the height of the pandemic. Now, I traveled a lot by car earlier last year and dealt with all the things you got to deal with. You can't eat in restaurants, and a lot of places were closed, touchless buying of stuff. I can remember when I was out of state working for an emergency management agency to get something to eat. They met you outside, and everybody had their, mask on and gloves, and I'm surprised they weren't wearing hazmat suits to get your order, and then they'd bring it to your car in a touchless methodology, and off you went to eat somewhere else. We went through all that, and then the case numbers came down in the summer, and then they started going back up in the fall. Though we had no flu this year, we'll talk about that some other day. The case numbers went up, and now they're going down again, I think because they finally have changed the way we count cases, but I'm still, you will never convince me that 500 and some odd thousand people died purely of COVID-19 in the United States, especially when heart disease numbers and flu numbers and cancer numbers have dropped dramatically during the same period. So just kind of bear that in mind. But I remember when I had to fly a couple of times. I flew both times I had to fly, one time to Virginia and one time to Texas. And I can remember having to wear my face covering to fly, you know, last October, and going through the airport in Washington, D.C., and then, you know, to my destination near Charlottesville, and then to West Texas back in January. During the past 6 months, you look at pictures of churches, and in many states, they say, you know, you got a social distance 6 or 10 feet apart. You got to wear a face covering, and you got clergy wearing gloves and face masks and everything else, because we're all going to die of coronavirus in church, because church is the super spreader. Yet why was it that in both going to up to Virginia and to Texas, they keep me 6 feet apart to get on an airliner where we are now shoved shoulder to shoulder, not an empty seat on the plane, for the next 2.5 hours or more. In my case, total of 4 hours flying time between the two flights, or about 3.5 anyway. It was suddenly safe to fly in an airliner shoulder to shoulder. But in a restaurant, oh, you gotta wear your face mask walking in, but you can take it off when you sit down. You can't go to church without a face mask in some places, or even at all, or only at 10% capacity. But an airliner can be 100% capacity. Dr. Gales, I'm missing something here. Why is church more dangerous to the government than flying on an airliner, and even now in some restaurants?
Well, it goes down to a spiritual issue, right? And it's social conditioning. Church, you know, this is a spiritual issue between good and evil. Evil is seeking to destroy the church, to marginalize it, and to weaken it. And it's doing a pretty good job. Evil doesn't mind if you're going to, you know, go into other venues, mm-hmm. you know, whether casinos or pot shops or liquor stores, whatever. It's all right with that. So we're seeing something spiritual here, and we see a social conditioning, the likes of which we have never seen before, and a division between people. So yeah, mm-hmm. it's, you know, on the airplanes, whether it's in the restaurants, you know, you got a social distance, you get to your table and you take all your masks off, and the other tables aren't so far. And yet, you know, you can take your mask off and sit around, talk, laugh, you know, whatever. And it's not going to get to the other people, you know, that might be 10 feet mm-hmm. away. So why are people jogging alone with a mask on?
Yeah, that one gets me to this day. And look, even early on in the virus, I can remember after I had worked for a couple of months in North Carolina, we're still in what I call, you know, COVID fear, what, you know, mm-hmm. syndrome, because we're being told that, well, the president's lying, hydroxychloroquine doesn't do anything, and a matter of fact, it might even kill you, according to Dr. Nancy Pelosi. But we should ask right. Dr. Jill Biden. Maybe Jill knows more. But, you know, I mean, you know, Nancy Pelosi is telling us it's bad for us. And they took something that was working, and many doctors had proven it over and over and over again. And Fauci is like, no, you can't take it. We got to have the vaccine. And we'll get the vaccine in 2021, maybe 2022. Who knows? 2025. Can I hear 2027? You know, well, we can't do it that quick. In other words, Fauci was all about, we're all going to die. The virus is not going away. You must keep your businesses closed. Now, I am of the opinion, you may disagree, but I'm of the, maybe you will agree. This pandemic had everybody that worked in government been told they got to go home and not get a paycheck. I mean, what bothered me, I saw this in a lot of counties and state governments. Somebody, let's say back in March, April, and May in economic development, okay? What were they doing in April and May? Nothing. They were nothing to do because everybody was scared we were all going to die. There was nobody, you know, getting ready to do all this economic development. And people running a tourism board. What tourism? You shut everything down. So why were these people able to, quote, work from home? What a bunch of baloney. You know, hang around in their PJs having coffee and a couple of Zoom meetings a week. And they're getting their full government paycheck with all the benefits. Yet the person that owns the little restaurant, the little neighborhood tavern, the little shoe store, the little grocery store, and you know, like a fresh fruit market or whatever, oh, you can't be open. You got to shut down. You got to stay home. Sorry, you got to stay home. Yeah, here's your $1,200. That'll give you what? $100 for the entire year per month. And you live on that. You pay all your bills on that. And the people that are telling you to do this, they're not having to do it themselves. You probably saw this video somebody shared with me, and I had to think about it, and I finally am convinced, you know, every excuse they were trying to give was baloney. You know, about the health department worker shutting down a business trying to comply, and she's doing a little happy dance while he's on the phone, because she ended up not, but she thought she had, I shut him down, and she's getting her paycheck, of course. But if everybody like in economic development and the boards of tourism, zoning and all those people that weren't doing anything except sitting at home doing a Zoom meeting and getting a paycheck, because you know you couldn't come down to the building office to get a permit. COVID. If everybody in government was treated like all the small businesses and they were told they got to go home without a paycheck, no paycheck for you, when would this virus have come to a crashing halt?
If the people rose up, it would have. Look, it's just an agenda. And the more people that understand the agenda is Marxism, and it's to destroy the middle class, the independent business owner. It's to uplift the government and the big, big corporation, Amazon, Walmart, Costco.
Who made big profits last year? Who made record profits? Amazon, Walmart.
Yep. And destroy all the independent businesses, mom and pop. That's the agenda. Look, there is no such thing as equality when it comes to this.
No.
The agenda is to destroy the working man and woman who are on their own in their own businesses. And they want you to have an income by the state. And that's where we're going to see this income they want to give you along with the digital cards. And look, the churches are faring no better. The churches were told, actually, many churches that I know of, bishops and others, they closed them down before the government even asked them to. Mm-hmm. And they capitulated. And I got to tell you, a lot of them are World Council Church members and so forth. But anyway, that's just an aside. But the fact is, they closed them down. I see people being disciplined, ministers, pastors, priests. They're being disciplined by hierarchy over, you know, whether they're making everyone wear a mask or not, whether they're, you know, sterilizing things in their church or not. It's honestly gotten insane. Unfortunately, church will never, I said this in the very beginning of this, because the agenda is to get rid of them.
The church
will never, ever be what it was prior to COVID.
And
never.
In some cases, that's not a bad thing. And we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Ultimately, it's going to be that.
Look, as a person in ministry, I'm actually a bishop within a small Reformed Anglican body, and I had several churches inquire to me, because they knew I was working in emergency management, what do we do? Do we close? And I said, and this is, now remember, this is the very beginning, you know, with the 2 weeks to or 3 weeks to for the pause kind of thing. I said, I'm not going to tell you to close or open. I'm not going to order it either way. I said, what is right, do you think, as a witness in your community for the moment? You know, for the moment, until we get a better handle on this. It'd be like, well, Bob, there's a tornado coming down the main highway. Do we go to church, you know, with a tornado warning and it's bearing down on the building? Maybe you ought to wait a little bit, you know. So, you know, use what God gave us. It's called common sense. But when it started getting into 4 weeks, I called a couple of them up. I said, you know, I can't tell you to break the law in your own state. But if God lays that upon your heart to follow the advice of St. Peter, we listen to the will of God over men, I've got your back. You follow where I came from on that. And one by one, my church has opened up long before anybody else did. And they didn't do all this, you know, some people wore a face mask, others didn't. And there was no face mask wars or people screaming, put a mask on stuff. None of it.
Right.
You know, a few people did. And over time, they said, you know something? No one's getting sick here. I wonder why. I've got a very good friend, lives out in California. God love her. I'd hate to be her just for that one reason. And she's been attending since July. She was at a different church that had closed down. And she started going to Grace Community Church in Southern California. This is, you know, Dr. MacArthur's church. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, you got 7,000 people a week worshiping there. 7,000. In defiance of the state. And you'd think, you know, churches being, according to Gavin Newsom or Newsom or whatever, that they're the super spreader killer, you know, entities. You would think with 7,000 people gathering together, spreading the virus, that at least, I don't know, 1,000 or 2,000 people would be infected, and at least 200 or 300 would be deader than, you know, a cockroach after the raid has been sprayed on them. And so I asked, you know, how many people have died there? Then we're still waiting. Nobody. How many have gotten sick there? They can't even, they've counted a handful that were security guards that are not even part of the church. They may have gotten it somewhere else. So this super spreader nonsense did not exist. And a few other churches that I know that have, yeah, there have been some churches where early on they could trace a spread. Sometimes I wonder, and I have this thought, and Lord, you know, I want your opinion on this, Timothy. This is important. Some of the really Bible-believing churches where they really put their heart and their trust in everything in Jesus seem to be doing quite well versus those that, you know, haven't learned how to put their faith on Jesus Christ. In Jesus, maybe, but not on him, if you know the difference.
Right. Well, two things. There is the fear, which is a huge motivator for anybody. Mm-hmm. But I have found the same thing. Yeah, you know, I frequent lots of different churches with people, and you know, I know Catholics and Orthodox and Anglicans and Lutherans, and then I know Bible Baptists, and I know, you know, non-denominational. Mm-hmm. So I talk to all of these people, but I can tell you the ones that are in the Word of God, that are in the Scriptures all the time, mm-hmm. they're not as deceived as others. They see through a lot of what's going on. And that's something I've noticed. The more, and you can know the Scripture in any one of those groups. I'm just saying, typically, mm-hmm. if you're in the Word of God, you're in the Scriptures and you know them, your discernment meter is much higher.
It is.
And that's what I'm seeing. I listened to a sermon by a gentleman, non-denominational group, Calvary Chapel. He's a pastor, I think, out in Hawaii. Somebody sent it to me. Mm-hmm. Everything you and I have been saying, he just came out with 2 weeks ago about the patch, about the microneedle array, about the quantum dots, about mm-hmm. everything that we've been saying, he's just come out with. And I said, wow, now he can do that. But I have all these other guys I know who are maybe priests or bishops or hierarchs or in these other groups. They don't see anything. As a matter of fact, they're scared.
They just see a vaccine will get things back. Look, back to normal.
That's the hope now.
There are people out there, and I'm going to, Lord, temper my words so I don't sound condescending. But I know these, you know, they're people that I have met. Others that I know, they're just sweet, wonderful human beings. They're the type that maybe should have, you know, gone to a convent or something with their faith background. They're dedicated to their mom and dad. They still live at home in their 30s and 40s, and they try to be good little girls in particular. And all they want to do is they encourage everybody, oh, please, please take the vaccine so we can go back and have church and mass just like we used to a couple of years ago when we could show up at 7 o'clock on any given morning and we didn't have to worry about social distancing and we could talk to each other and even have coffee after. All you need to do is take the vaccine and we can all get back to normal. And yet the Lord laid on your heart and mine and so many others, it ain't never going back to normal, no matter how many jabs you put in your arm.
That's right. Because you're already somewhat registering now when you're making an appointment to go to church, but you're going to see it much worse. You're going to see registration as far as a vaccine stamp or card in the beginning, then a stamp on your body in order to attend any function. And that will include church, period. And the question is, how many churches are going to capitulate to the government when that happens?
Too many.
How many? Yeah, yeah, you're right. And it's interesting because I can go back into the early church and I can show you where they had to have, you know, Julian the Apostate made trying to cordon off churches. He made them have registration cards in order to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. Satan works in the same
China
way.
China does it over and over. China has the official church.
Yep.
And they have to register.
And go back.
Yeah, well, they did in Nazi Germany too. You had to. When you look at, we'll just say German Lutheranism and even German piety and German and other Moravian type groups that were in the country, they had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. Were they going to be an accepted church by the Third Reich? And thus meaning, you know, you can't have any Jewish people in your church or on any kind of church council. You've got to have racial purity. You have to. And once again, it goes down to what I heard out of France a couple of weeks ago, where this politician was, you know, blowing a gasket, you know, couldn't understand how could a Christian ever say that the law of God is more important than the law of France? You know, this is insanity. Of course, the law of man is better than the law of God. And this is what Germany was peddling in the 1930s.
Yeah,
and Hitler was now becoming, somebody said, and it was, I'm trying to remember which theologian, not Bormann, Bonhoeffer, but there were others that made a statement that one time when Hitler was talking to a bunch of, quote, German Lutheran pastors, there was a division. There was many in the room that just wanted to, you know, get along. Yeah, whatever it takes, we'll do it, and then we can continue to sing our German Lutheran hymns, and they won't bother us. And, you know, we'll sing a chorus of, you know, glorious things of thee are spoken, you know, for the German national anthem. We'll do all that, and then this way they'll leave us alone. In other words, they capitulated. They gave up. They surrendered, and some churches didn't. You know, Bonhoeffer was able to, got out and got to England, and he was offered a prestigious post in teaching, and he would have had his life secured for many, many years to come. But he had to make a hard decision. He could also go back to Germany to train those in the underground church that were willing to be true believers and not throw out the faith once delivered for the appeasement of politics. And it cost him his life. He got back there in 43, was arrested, and ended up in a concentration camp. And right before the war ended, they executed him just in spite. But he gave his life for the faith. And how many Episcopal priests that I know of today would give their life for the faith? They might give they might give it for social justice, but they're certainly not going to give it for the faith.
Well, social justice, right, isn't even the faith. So what we're looking at here is this. Everything you described is coming back. There were several ways they dealt with it. In the communist countries, they would just stand in front of the church with a clipboard and a pen, and they'd write down the names of everybody who they saw going in. That was peer pressure enough to keep people from going. Then, you know, they would take sometimes people who went to church, were avid churchgoers, a businessman, maybe he was a banker. The next day you'd see him as a street sweeper. And everybody knew why. because he was a faithful churchgoer. He was, that's it. And so they do these things in order to intimidate, threaten, scare, and make you capitulate. Mm-hmm. The Bonhoeffers are few and far in between. You know, as I always say, my Italian friend always says, coraggio, we need courage. And we lack courage in all of
and we lack a lot more than
today.
Courage in this age.
Oh yeah, that's right. And we're going to need that, because this is where the times are coming. They're coming to the catacombs. We're here. They're coming to standing up for the law of God.
Yep.
Above the law of man.
Yep.
No matter the cost. Mm-hmm. And there are very, very few who are willing to do that.
Amen.
But God will raise up his people. He'll raise him up. You watch. There will be the most unlikely person, the one that you always thought maybe was the wimp in the church, you know, maybe the one who stands up and leads David's army. You never know. God has his ways.
I think we're going to have to pick up this conversation tomorrow, because I've got a feeling we're not going to have quite enough time to get in everything that's coming to mind right now. Just want to take a moment as we close the program, if you'd be so kind, just to listen for a moment. I mentioned at the beginning of the program today the number of people that are beginning to listen in other places. And I just want to make sure that I'm being a good steward. That's why any opportunity you get to let me know somehow, some way, that you're listening on shortwave, it means more to me than you'll ever know. Even if you're not able to support this ministry financially, just knowing that we're being good stewards of what God has given us, well, that's just as important. And so if you're listening on KVOH, we have just completed last week 2 months, and I'm just now beginning to feel that there's some people listening. And I really need to know to make sure that as we get into the end of the month of March and we start hitting April, I really, really need to know that we are being wise and good stewards of the gifts that God has given us. As I've said before, I don't get paid to do this program in any shape, manner, or form. No perks, no living expenses, no nothing. This is just strictly for covering the airtime, for people to hear this program. That's it. God has taken care of our personal needs, so we're thankful for that. Now, the airtime, of course, that is a different story, and each month we need to pay those that are carrying the program to cover their expense. I just need to know that you're listening, and even if you can't, if you're unable to contribute, still let me know. Just send an email. You can do that, bob@truth2ponder.com, bob@truth2ponder.com. Those emails come directly to me. You can go to the website, truth2ponder.com. There's a way to even send me, and it comes to me too, a little information form. If you want to use the regular U.S. mail, and our address here is 21 Berkshire, BERKSHIRE, 21 Berkshire Lane. And our little secure box, number 263. We're in the little tiny town of Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. And I'd love to hear from you if you're able to just let me know that you're listening. Like I say, if you can add an offering to that to help defray the cost, wonderful, and God bless you. And you can make a check payable to Ancient Word Radio. That is Ancient Word Radio. And that's our little parent ministry. God has opened this door of radio, and I see some good things coming ahead. I just want to make sure that we're doing this right, and we're being careful with what we have been given. So once again, go to our website, truth2ponder.com, and until tomorrow, may God bless you.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.